So we said this morning, we just want to study with you a little bit about the false prophet, and that's what we intend to do. And this is probably going to go on for a while. The Lord is, I believe he's shaking the church, and the things that are of God, they'll remain. They cannot be shaken. And that, and God, we know by God's word that he's going to have a pure church. It's going to be without spot or wrinkle. It's not going to have any blemish whatsoever, what he's coming back for. So that's why we've been burdened to bring this lesson, and we just want to be obedient to the Lord. And the study we've had in Isaiah has helped me a lot, just knowing that Isaiah... He was quite a bit alone most of the time on what he was saying, because people didn't want to hear what he had to say. The judgment of the Lord coming, and we're right back there again today. I look at where we're at as far as see if this will work. Oh, it works great. To see if you know what kind of judgment people's willing to put themselves under. They don't want any. Whatever feels good is what they want. That's just whatever they want is what they call truth. I am just burdened by these things, and it'll opposition comes from places you'll never ever realize it, but until it happens. And there's a lot more falseness in the world than what we want to believe. So let's get started. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd help us tonight, Lord. You see the thoughts we're trying to bring out, and Lord, the importance of it, Lord. And we just ask you give us the anointing, make preaching possible, and the hearing of it, Lord. Father, we give you praise for all you do, and we do thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew, the 7th chapter, we was in there just a little bit this morning. And I'm going to use this one verse out of here to just get us started. And because Jesus said this, you could almost say it's a commandment. In verse 15, he said, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." Raving wolves, and they'll destroy you. And sometimes the ones we're going to talk about tonight, they'll kill you with kindness. They'll kill you with kindness because they want to give you every... The world of religion we got today, everybody's hyped up. And I know I got in trouble years ago for all these signs around that say, "If my people pray," out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, isn't it? 7 and 14 or 14 and 7, I'm not sure, but it's 2 Chronicles. And if my people pray, God will hear from heaven. And people went... And they took that, and they took that, and these signs were all over the place. And I said, that's a partial truth. That's a partial truth. Excuse me. Got a fuzzy or something. It's a partial truth. And people took that, and they went everywhere with it. But the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, will repent, pray, and turn from their wicked ways... Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And that's much of the teaching today is there's no turning from sin. And I've been faithful for the last 16, 17 years since the Lord called me to my ability to say we must turn from sin. There's no option in that. That's if you're going to be part of God's church, you must turn from sin. And we can only do so much in ourselves, but we're to put our effort into it. And if you're not going to put any effort into it, you're not going to turn from sin. If you're going to just lay around and let the Spirit do all the work, you're going to wind up in sin. We live in a very religious time. And many people don't put much stock in this type of preaching anymore because it don't feel good to them. But in this message, Jesus said we need to beware of false prophets. And a lot of times, people don't even know what a false prophet is. So, Revelation 13, let's look. We're going to start looking, and we're going to get some light on this, what the Bible says it is. I've been called a false prophet several times, and And even recently, I've been called a false prophet. And then I look at the people that's called me that. And then I look at what I'm preaching. And it's like it don't add up with God's word. Look in Revelation, the 13th chapter, starting in the 11th verse. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and on earth, and in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Remember the other day, maybe it was even this morning, but I think it was Wednesday night, I said, don't be caught up in all the things you see being done. This is how he said the false prophet deceived people. That dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. So, we see right here, this false prophet, that's what he calls him, the second beast, he had power, but he come up out of the earth. He come up out of the earth. That's the first thing we ought to look at. Where did it come from? Where is its origin? And the Bible said it come up out of the earth. You know, I'm not going into that teaching first. We might catch that later on down the road. We see here by the word of God, this is what we want to focus on. His purpose was to deceive. The beast, one of the Antichrist spirits, and the first one that it talks about back in the 13th chapter, is Papal Rome. It's the Roman Empire. And then the Pope took over. And then this beast that's coming up out of the earth will be referred to as Protestant religion. They was protesting the Catholic religion. Sometimes, there's a little bit of history, church history in this. Sometimes you can get some help down there in what we call Babylon. Because they have partial truths. Just like that, come out of her, my people. But it's not a full truth because it still gives image to the beast. The beast message was, you can sin. Go ahead and sin. That's what its message was. Worship the church. Worship the Catholic Church. Worship Rome back in that day. Worship Rome. You can still sin. Pay your penance to them and you'll be okay. Well, then they started protesting the Catholic religion. But yet the religions have went by the wayside that you don't have to come out of sin. And each one of them had a degree of truth coming out through, if you'd already followed through. Even the Church of God claims to have truth, has let down on some things. Babylon's a spiritual condition. There's false prophets right in what calls itself the Church of God. I'm not just picking on just sectarian religion in the Catholic Church, but just what the Bible shows what these things are. Now they're Antichrist spirits to make us be anything that's not like Christ. But it come out of the ground. Any form of religion that comes out of the ground and it's only a form will deceive men. The Christ they offer is a false Christ in most cases. Why do I say it's a false Christ? There's truths that they say that he can save, he has saving power, he has healing power, he can do all these things. But what makes him a false Christ is that it says he'll overlook sin. And he can't overlook sin, he was the payment for it. Jesus can't overlook sin, he's the payment for it. It would make his death in vain. I like these Bible truths. Amen. They assure me of my effort that I'm putting into it. This is worth doing what I'm doing. This is worth keeping it fresh in my mind. Why? It means something.
Yes.
The Christ they offer is a false Christ in that sense, and the purpose of the false prophet is to destroy. That's his purpose. I've got scripture to back it up. The beast, the false prophet, is out to make war against the church. It's out to call good evil and evil good. And it's all done in the disguise of religion. And his purpose is to cause you and I to lose out, to destroy us and our eternity in heaven. State in Revelations, go to 19. Revelations 19. Verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and her armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet. It names it right out right here. The false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast and had worshipped in his image, and both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The false prophet, we have to look at it as there's nothing good going to come out of him. He's against the church. He's against the saints of God. It says so right there. Said he came to make war with the church. The beast, let me back up, let me catch it. Verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. They're talking about Jesus sitting on the white horse and against his army, which is the church of God. And the beast was taken, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, the beast, papal Rome, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them, that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, and these were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant, look at this, it's even saying none got by, even those that he didn't grab and throw into the fire, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, with the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. The ones, there was a remnant maybe that straggled by that might have been hiding in false religion that was close to the truth. He just opened his mouth and spoke the gospel and it laid him right open. People don't like this. They tenderfooted around with it so much. We're going to stand before a holy, 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 holy God. More than anything we've ever imagined. Someone said, Brother Mac, you're putting fear in it. We're to have a fear of God. And people's got the idea they're just going to walk up and tell God what for and why they did what they did. And just like we've read with all these different ones in the Bible, including Isaiah and John that wrote this revelation, boy, when they seen God, when they was in the presence of God, where was they at? They was laying flat on their face. They couldn't even look up. They're scared as if dead. Same thing with the Apostle Paul when he was walking along and he couldn't see. Down he went. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. What would you have me do? Not, well, I do this and I do that. Well, I tell you what. In a sense, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the day that people get put in their place. I don't. It's going to be an awful, awful time. It's going to be an awful, awful thing. But God's judgment will come. I said earlier this morning, to try their life. And that's exactly what Scripture teaches us. We are to look at the life of those professing to be prophets of God. And not only prophets of God, but those that are professing Christianity are many prophets, if you'll let me use that term. We can go back as early, let's look in 1 John real quick to see something. 'You look, you're hollering a little bit tonight. You know, I'm just a little bit nervous. Just a little bit nervous, and I don't fear the devil, but I have a respectful fear of the devil. I used to sing that song, "We've got the devil on the run." I can't hardly sing that anymore. I'm no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. Jesus said to Peter, "The devil's able to sift you as wheat, just flip you up like there's nothing, Matt, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. But I have prayed for you." And I say, thank God that you've prayed for us. And he did in the 17th chapter of John. He prayed for every one of us that's serving him. But I have a respectful fear of the enemy. And I don't think we should play around with him or with his prophets. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, it's what he says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I know here it wasn't long too long ago, we had a letter put out that that's what someone was doing. They was going out to try the spirit, to see whether it be of God, if it would fit where they wanted to be. They're wrong, and that's wrong. I just counseled with a couple that's thinking about leaving their congregation. I said, why are you wanting to leave? And I counseled with the permission of their pastor. In fact, it was their pastor that called me first and said, they're thinking about leaving. I said, why you want to leave? We just feel like we ain't getting nothing here anymore. Where's God leading you to was my first question. Well, we've been visiting. I said, you're best to go back and just sit right where you was told to be the first time. And then when God tells you where you need to be, you'll know where you need to go. Because if you go over here and visit for a little bit, you go over here and visit for a little bit, you go over here and visit for a little bit, you go over here and visit for a little bit, you go over here, you go over here, you go over here, you'll be so mixed up and confused you don't know which way's up.
Amen.
And he's saying these spirits, if you'll study this, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, every life that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And you can't go around every spirit, every life that professes they're a Christian. You can't go, looks a lot like that one, I like that one, I like that one. You're going to have to get to know the life a little bit. You're going to have to spend some time. So that's what tells me. If you're shopping around for a congregation, and I don't know that anybody is, get on your face before God and ask God where He wants you to go. Because if you go over here, I guarantee you, you're going to like something there. And you're going, wherever you visit, you're going to like something because it's different. And you're going to think it's perfect. In two or three visits, you can't decide whether you try the Spirit. Because it says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, every life that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. If there's people confessing they're a Christian and they still got sin going on in their life, open sin, they're not of God. Someone said, Brother Matt, you can't preach that way. The Bible reads it just like that. We live in a day and time when people's acting as if God's going to overlook sin. God will never overlook sin. It cost Him His only begotten Son for it. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. This is it. Everybody's trying to guess what an Antichrist spirit. This is it. A life that's professing they're saved, but yet the world's still all over them and pulling them. God help us tonight, saints, to see. Brother Mike just mentioned to me, we're to be a light of the world. We're to be the light of the world. And if we're to be the light of the world, we can't be a light if we are looking just like the world. We got to be brighter than them.
Amen.
We got to shine just a little different. There's got to be something different about our life. Amen. Verse 4 says, Lord, let me get back and catch us. Where have ye have heard that it should come, the Antichrist? Even now, it's already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And they are of the world, wherefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Let me just put this in context. How can you try the spirit of the world and not be out there in it? You see what I mean? How it's taken out of context when I go out and try the Spirit. And I go try the Spirit. In other words, we need to try the spirits that are coming into contact with us.
Amen.
We're not to be going out in the world and searching and trying. Was this of God or is this of the world? Is this of God or is this? You're going to get mixed up. That's how so many people that once stood in truth caught in all the Baptist doctrine. And the once in grace, always in grace is what I'm getting at. And you don't have to live any different. Just profess your Christ, get baptized, and that's it. People that once lived for truth, they went out and seen people treated them all right. They was nice to them. They was kind to them. That's good. But what's the life confess? I don't know about you, but I know when I got saved, there were some things Jesus said, you don't do no more. Amen. No, Matt, you don't do that no more. They might do it, but you don't do that no more. And it made such an impression on me, I'll just use the word, come hell or high water, I'm not doing it no more. I've drawn my line in the sand. This is as far as I go. I'm not doing that no more. God made a new creature out of me. He said I couldn't partake of that no more. And I'm not doing it. Well, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. I know, but God's blessing me. And I'll go over here and be happy because God's blessing me. I didn't lose friends. I lost some acquaintances. I shouldn't say I lost them. We just don't get together anymore. Amen. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. And the world heareth them. Look what it says here now. This is real important. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. If you're truly born again and you're of God, you hear what I'm saying tonight. Amen. And you don't argue with it. You might not agree with it because we have to bring ourselves into submission with it. Submission's not agreement. We may have to overcome the flesh and say, I want this, but that's what's right, so I'm going with that. We are of God, and he knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Now look at this, there's a real important thing. And by this, hereby know we the spirit of truth, the life of truth, and the life of error. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Well, if you'd have continued in the Word and you listened to what God's messages was saying, you would have known the life of truth and you'd known the life of error. We're going to be without excuse on Judgment Day. People want to make this salvation thing so hard. It comes right down to what Sister Janice told us a long time ago. It comes right down, am I doing God's will or not? Am I living God's will? Amen. We must overcome this Antichrist. And to do this, we must continue in God's Word. You can read that, John 8:31-32. If any man be my disciple, he must continue in my Word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The key is continuing the Word. And we get into God's Word and study and seek His way of life for us. We're going to learn the way of truth. So I'm not going to really branch out a lot tonight, but I want to cover this next portion. How do we recognize a false prophet? How do we recognize a false prophet? Well, let's look what the Bible teaches us. In Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. And they're out there. They're out there. Deuteronomy 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer, or dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death. Now this is what God thinks of the false prophet that everybody wants to stick up for. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, what brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so shall thou put evil away from the midst of thee. The message of the gospel should be go and sin no more. Basically, I'm just putting that in a nutshell. Go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm a preacher, get up here and say, you know what? Try your best. Try your best. God understands. You're going to keep committing sin. You have to. It's what you would desire. Where's scripture for that? It's not. It's turning people back away from God. It's giving them a way that goes away from God. I will not stand on judgment day in that preacher's shoes. The blood will be on that preacher's skirts. Now look, let's bring it on down. We talk about false prophets. Verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or the son of thy daughter, or the wife, or thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, afar off from thee, or from the other end of the earth, even unto the end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thou I pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. We've got that going on all around us today. We can't go to this extreme, and I'm glad we don't have to, and Jesus changed all this. This is what Jesus changed. Verse 9, but thou shalt surely kill him. One of your own family members back in the Old Testament was leading you away from the ways of God. Stone him. And look what it said. And thou shalt be the first to put death upon him. We put way too much stock in family. And then afterwards, all the hand of the people, thou shalt stone him with stones, that he died because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God. Saints, it's a big deal if someone leads us away from God. It's a big woe on them, and it's a big woe on us. And he starts working. Let's just use Brother Mike for an example. Brother Mike, the old false prophet comes at you, and he starts telling you all these things. That Church of God doctrine's too tough, that you have to live above sin, and they want you to be holy, and they want this. But come on over here. Look, we got a good youth group, and it's full of teenage boys, and you got all them teenage girls. Well, the devil knows how to work, sisters.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to work. He'll even make them good looking. Make them smell nice. I know we don't teach the same stuff you teach over there, but look at our good group. Look at what we're doing. Look at all the social events we got. You know what? That sounds pretty good. Just have to come in. We'll be like them five foolish virgins. We don't have to worry about what's going on the inside. We just fit the appearance. Brother Mike, as the head of the house, makes that decision. That's why God is so against it. Because he took five other souls with him and exposed them to that. Amen. It already works. It's already works on people. I know this isn't a popular message. I pray God just keeps giving me the strength to just preach the message, just not worry about whether they're popular or not.
Amen.
God's given us a picture here how serious it is for one to be led away from the truths of God. He hates it. He hates it. He takes truth a lot more serious than we do. He sees all the effects of it. Looking over at Jeremiah. So you're identifying, one of the things to identify, keep this in mind. Where's this prophet? Where's this person trying to lead me? Closer to God or away from Him? And any direction that's not going toward God is going away from God. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. I have to thank God for His faithfulness. I just realized it. God's faithful.
Amen.
My prayer ever since I've been in the ministry is, Lord, not to make me a famous preacher, not to make me a great preacher. I want to be a preacher of righteousness. I'm just preaching a righteous message tonight. I'm excited about it. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, 23rd chapter, I'm sorry, 9th verse. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah cried about everything that he seen God's people doing. He said, my heart's broken, within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine have overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, and for because the swearing of the land mourneth, and the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. I've hollered for a long time. America claims to be a Christian nation. Why are we in the shape we're in? Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that evil overcomes good. There's just not enough good out there that what calls itself to be Christian is not really doing God's work. It's not really taking the stand for God. That's why the evil's ruling. The land is full of adulterers because of the swearing land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil. Their force is not right. For both prophet and priest have profaned, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall therein, and I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. There again, where was they being led? Jeremiah was sickened by what all these prophets was teaching. They was teaching to go back after the falseness. False prophets really troubled a true man of God. They still do. Just for the simple reason it's destruction to God's people. And in Matthew chapter 7. As far as to spot them, you're not going to go out on the street tomorrow. It looks
probably why there's a false prophet.
It said they come to you in sheep's clothing. They look right. They have the right appearance. Kindness, smiling, shaking your hand, telling you everything you like to hear. Look what it says. 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves, and ye shall know them by their fruits. Look at their fruits. What are they producing? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or of thistles? Even so, look what it says, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. As long as you sit under the gospel, I'll say it this way, and I don't want anybody confused. It's nothing I'm doing. It's what I'm preaching. As long as you sit under my ministry, you're my fruit for others to look on. Sad thing is, there's bad apples every once in a while in a congregation. But if I keep doing what I'm supposed to do and keep bringing forth the preaching, the bad apples move out. I don't mean to be mean. I'm not against people. I'm just stating facts. Because the gospel that comes down from God is to be a light so we can see if we're of God or if we're of the enemy. And I'm supposed to preach it so clear, we can look and say, oh, I understand. I'm of the spirit of truth or I'm of the spirit of error. That's why people don't like hard preaching. Hard for hypocrites to hide where there's hard preaching. I shouldn't say hard, truthful preaching. But the truth is hard. He calls it the hard truth in Revelations. Up the hail, it sweep away the refuge of lies. In Mark, the 13th chapter. False prophets. Mark 13, verse 22. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. And I think I wrote down something wrong.
You just started in 23 instead of 22.
Sorry, that's what it is. I'm ahead of myself. Verse 21. And then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show their signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible. We want God's miracles. When we pray and we ask for God to heal somebody, we want God to heal them. And it's a great thing if that happens. But I'm wanting us to go deeper than that and say, don't just look at the miracles. Look what I've been preaching for the past 15 years. Look what I've been pointing everybody to. I've been pointing you to God's Word. I've been pointing you to His holiness. I'm not trying to get you to follow a following after me. I follow me as I follow Christ. I'm trying to get you to follow Jesus. And the closer I can get you to follow Jesus, even the better off it is for me when you pray for me. We live in such a day and time when I'm so sick of religion. I'm sick of all the advice of the religious people that don't know beans from Scripture. They just know what they feel like. Look over John, the 8th chapter. And they say that I'm hard, but look what Jesus said. He put it right out here. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 31 because I quoted that scripture. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. You're not my students unless you continue in my word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And I read that and I think they're a bunch of street kids. We be. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Now sayest thou, ye shall be made free. And they answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Well, I tell you what, you'll get sour faces and arguments from people, right, that calls itself the Church of God when you read that scripture. Well, now, brother, Matt. No, if you're in sin, you're the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. If you're going to use the name Christian, then you're going to do the works of a Christian. You know where the word Christian come from? It was first called Christians at Antioch. You can read about it in Acts. And you know what they said? Who are these Christ-like people? And they was dubbed Christian. They were like Jesus. Yeah, Jesus was around the corner sinning too, wasn't he? No. He was perfect. And he gave us the ability to be that way in God's eyes. You do the deeds of your father. Verse 41. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. You know, I struggled with that scripture for a long time back 4 or 5 years ago when I was kept trying to bring out the message of the two cleansing, not holding hands with it, We ain't got hardly any fellowships left. You know why? They all went backwards. And instead of supporting that truth that we know to be true, hold now, Brother Matt. You don't have to look very far to see it. And again, I'm not saying there's bad people, I'm not against people, but the truth. If you were God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. There's that false prophet. It just rose up out of the people. Oh, we need a preacher. We'll make us one. Here, you're popular. You've got a good way to say. But God's preachers are sent. And that's what he says in Romans. How shall they preach except they be sent? Why do you not understand my speech? Jesus said. Even because you cannot hear my words, why you don't understand my speech? And this is the reason. Verse 44, he come right out and said, ye are of the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why you do not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. And God's words is beware of the false prophet. And if you're of God, you're going to beware of it. And that means you're going to be watchful. And you're going to have to be watchful to be able to spot it. Because he said you got to know them by the fruits. Yes. You may look at me here and yes, and I get fired up at false religion. I was in it for a while. And it had a message. Come out of her, my people. And I heard it loud and clear when God called it. I didn't overlook. I could have overlooked what God showed me, but I didn't. Come out of her, my people. And I come out fast. And I went home that night and I told Chris, "We, this is why I have such a hard time when people start on the, I call it the church shopping network. When I left out there and drove home, I'd say the minute I walked out of that church and got into my truck, and she was at home, I knew I was going back to the church of God. I didn't know which one yet. It was one of two places. And the way things turned out, it wouldn't have mattered too much whichever one I'd ended up in. They're both the same spirit. But I knew. And I come in and I said, we're not going back there. We're either going here or here. We need to pray about where we're going. We didn't have to go try each one out. We hadn't visited each other, one of them. And the Lord just finally, just to both of us, pretty much the same time within a day, this is where you go. God's faithful to his people is what I'm trying to get across. There's no guessing game. He don't play with us here and there. He looks for people that are obedient and do what he says, even when it's not comfortable for them, and then he directs them and guides them. I I've heard many things about myself. I've heard things about this congregation, how mean I am when someone disagrees with our teachings. I've heard how unfriendly the congregation is. And I it used to bother me, but I just, brother and sister, I just tell you this. I know who some of those people are that say these things. And right before they started saying all this, they're the same people that stood up and testified. God showed me I need to measure up on this. And they didn't only just do it to me, they went to some of the people individually and said it. God showed me I need to be here more often. God showed me I need to be in service whether my husband comes with me or not. They made those testimonies. But then I never seen any action behind it. And the next thing I know, they're sideways with everybody. When the blame comes right back when they look in the mirror, they didn't do what God told them to do. So then they get guilty. I won't use the name. They can tell you if they want. We have one in the congregation that said they got sideways with God one time. And when they did, they hated everything of God, basically. Until the Lord revealed to them, this is what you need. Amen. When you do that, when you get to that place, the old false prophet comes right up. Hey. One of my old country music songs was George Strait. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mine. He'd have a deal just tailor-made for you, one of the lines says. And that's just the way it is. We get sideways with the teachings. It's because we don't measure up to what we want. The devil's got a deal just for you. The false prophet will lead you away from God's word. By just what we've studied tonight, on a sure way to tell a false prophet, which direction are they leading you? Toward truth and holiness, or to the ways of the world? The ways that cater to you. I was looking for the scripture and I didn't have time before service. Maybe someone can help me out. I think it's in Romans. When it said they worshiped the creature more than the creator. I think it's in the first chapter. And that's where we're at today. A lot of people worship the creature more than the creator. The false prophet has one mission in mind. To lead us away from Christ and to destroy us.
Verse 25.
You got it right there. Read it. You got it right in front of you, brother.
It says, let's read that one verse. It says, who changed the truth of God to a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever.
Yep. That's what false prophets do. They change the truth of God into a lie. We talked about a little bit this morning with the serpent. Oh, you won't die. And you know that serpent told a partial truth. I think in Eve's mind, she thought when she bit into that, she would just go drop dead. And when she didn't, hey, that's when he said, you won't die. And then he probably come back a little bit later and said, see, I told you. But she did later on. You're also, in closing, to know the ones that labor among you. And I'm not saying, look at me, look at Brother Mike, that you're going to find ultimate perfection. And I will say it sadly that some people have put some of their ministers in that glass, that they're ultimate perfection. But when they're to look at, when we're saying, know them that labor among you. And it's in God's word. Let me read it and I'll make my point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Know them. Know them. And again, Brother Mike and I have been called to the ministry in this congregation. I've been called to pastor. He's been called to fill in, to be a lay minister, to help out. But he's in the ministry. We would name him as maybe a deacon, basically. He'd have them qualifications. And I'm not saying look at us that you see perfection, because you won't. But we're to know them and say, that his life confesses Christ. We're not going to 100% agree on everything scripturally. We're going to be real close, because the Bible said we're going to speak the same things. There's not going to be a minister under me preaching that you can go sin. I'll guarantee you that. Or a Sunday school teacher teaching that. That it's just okay to go do it. That's not going to happen. But what I'm saying is, look at those that labor among you. Is my life backing up what I'm preaching? Don't look at people when they get sideways and we bring the gospel down. Well, you was mean to them. Were we preaching things to make you holy? Look and see if that life confesses Christ. Look at me, what I'm preaching to you. And am I putting it in my life? Amen. You need to know my life. And I'll say it this way. Go ahead and take a good look. And I don't mean look for perfection. Ask the people I have dealings with. Ask the people I've helped out. Ask the people I've owed money to. I don't care. Mommy, that's mine. But we're to know. What is it I've been preaching to you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? I've been faithful. Get closer to God. Be consecrated to God. Don't give up. Get closer to God. Be more consecrated to God. Don't give up. Get closer to God. And it sounds like a broken record. And maybe it is to some. But it's truth. It's true. And beware of this and beware of that. Brother Matt, you're cautious of everybody. Yeah, there's nothing more important than an eternal soul at stake. It's more important than your house, your bank account. It's more important than your job. And not only by what I tell you is your soul at stake, mine's at stake. Beware of the false prophet. Please beware of the false prophet. Nowhere do I find in scriptures we're to give into the flesh and do what feels good and right just because it feels good to us. When we walk according to God's will and His word in our life, that joy, it's not present every day. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a hard place. But when that joy comes down from heaven, when you've overcome, see, you become overcomer, then more than a conqueror. But when you overcome, that joy that comes down at that moment, that's lasting joy. It don't wear off like the new car you bought or the vacation you had or all that. It's lasting joy. And it's such great joy, if you'll really be honest. The joy comes, if you'll let me use the mountaintop. The joy comes in the mountaintop and in the valley. And you know that joy lasts, really, until this joy comes. When you look back, when you've been in the valley, come on. When you've been down and you're in the valley and you're battling, and the song even says, prayer is all I can do. And we even get into that point, God, why are you letting this happen to little old me? And we get that way. And we trudge along. God help me, God help me, God help me.
And he brings along just little tidbits every now and then as you're climbing up. And then you get to that plateau. And he said, hold on. That's enough. Crank my wind open a little bit. And he dumps out the blessing. And you start, you're on shouting ground. And you look back. Woo! That wasn't bad at all! Right? We got to stay in the battle, saints. There's an enemy out there trying to take. Now, I'm about done. If your life's constant, all this joy and all I get to do, and oh, it's just wonderful. I can do whatever I want to do. The preacher never crosses me up. He never does anything. Oh, it's just wonderful. And we eat five times a month, and we have whatever fun day and fun day and fun day. What do you learn about the Lord? Oh, he loves me. And he loves and he loves and he loves and he loves me. And now I'm starting to do things that's taking me back into my sinful lifestyle, the things I used to do that I had to give up. I'm so happy that I get to do them again. Well, he loves you, doesn't he? You know what the Bible says? There's pleasure in sin for a season. So sin's pleasureful. So a flag ought to come up. Not that everything we do that's fun is sin, but it's pleasure. It's a pleasure. That's why it's such a fight with the body to get rid of it. But when we walk according to God's will, the joy comes down from above. It's not a short little blast. It may feel like it wears off, but when you get the next batch of it, you can look back and say, I had it all along. Even though it was a hard place. I've done my best to try to start looking at what the false prophet does. And I hope it's been clear. His job is to lead us away. To lead us away. We'll get into maybe next week, Lord willing, some of the ways he starts luring us and how he works. So beware of the false prophet. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We hope, Lord, this lesson's been a help to someone.